kind of like a grand finale after festival and festival and more festivals. Festival season is being concluded here with Radhashtami. We all know who is Radharani. The eternal consort, La Dini Shakti, pleasure potency, of the original personality of Godhead, Swayam Bhagavan Krishna. And when he appears, she appears. So we're observing her appearance day, which comes shortly after his appearance day. And the place is in Vrindavan. We were discussing this last couple of days. Vrishabhanu, like his dear friend Nanda, was very religious, elevated in consciousness, sublime characteristics in his personality, and both Nanda and Vrishabhanu were in anxiety, because although everything was going very nicely amongst the cowherd communities, something was missing, and that was they had no children, both of them. And so a decision was made that between the two of them, the whole cowherd community would shift from Vrindavan to the east side of the river Jamuna to Mahavan, another area, also known as Gokula, and settle there, and maybe their fortunes would change. It did. Nanda received Krishna as his foster son. There's some details involved. And Vrishabhanu resided not far from Nanda Maharaj's palace. This is the current structure that's there in Ravel. Looks quite simple, but there was a palace. He was more wealthy than Nanda Maharaj, who was the king. He was a well-established person. And commonly we like to go to Ravel first when we go to Prakrama, because we want to Radharani's darshan and Radharani's blessings for the success of our pilgrimage. So here's the entranceway going into the temple. And the whole setting, surroundings are very simple. It's not been commercialized and so forth. And the pujaris are not aggressive, and it's very nice, very nice, very peaceful. And when we go early in the morning, the deities are still resting. So here's a nice picture of the resting of the Radha and Krishna. And the explanation that we narrate with regard to Radharani's appearance goes like this. Literally by the side of his home was a path of the river Jamuna at that time. Now it's, as you can see, dried up, and there's not a flowing current of the Jamuna River, but there was, as you can see by those, there's a whole row of them along the side of the river Jamuna, the stone configurations that were marking the side of the river Jamuna. Here's another image of the same, right by the side of the palace of Nanda, up at Vrishabhanu. It was the practice of religious men of his time. Early in the morning, before the sun would rise, they would go to the river Jamuna, take their bath, and perform their morning oblations and prayers and so forth, go back, worship their deity. Question came yesterday, which deity? Narayana was the deity of Nanda and Jasoda, and same for Shabanu and Kirtida. So when he went to take his morning bath, as he was wading into the river, he saw something he had never seen before, a large golden lotus that was effulgent, radiating a golden color. So as he approached the lotus with much curiosity, he saw inside the whirl of the lotus a young girl, a baby. And he took this as some providential arrangement. There was one narration says there was a voice from the sky, like Lord Brahma or something, indicating to him, this is your child you have desired, so please take care. He very carefully brought the child back to his palace, to his home, showed to Kirtida, and said, let us just accept this daughter as the girl that we've been wanting, and by some higher arrangement here we have Radharani. So they named her Radharani. The derivative of the name is Aradhana, one who worships. Aradhana. So they were very happy, but there was a problem. And the problem was, it seemed as if this girl was blind, deaf, and dumb. She didn't open her eyes. She didn't respond to any sound. He didn't make any sound. So they were quite concerned as parents. But they accepted it as a providential arrangement. And the narration goes on saying that when Krishna appeared, Narada was very eager to see the childhood form of Krishna, and knowing that if Krishna appeared, that Radharani must also have appeared. And he wanted to see Radha in this tiny infant form and worship her. So he did what sannyasis are asked to do sometimes. He went to various homes. He put out the word, I'd like to give blessings to your newborn child. People like sannyasis to pat their child and give their blessings or something. So he did that, and they were very happy door to door. And, you know, everywhere he looked, he could find other children, but he didn't find Radha. Eventually, he made his way to Ravel, and here he came to the door of Vrishabhanu and Kirtida. Do you have any young children? Yes. And because Radharani has an elder brother named Sridham. So they introduced Sridham, and he wasn't what he was looking for. He was happy to see Sridham. But as he was about to leave, then Rishabhanu approached him and said, we have a female child, but we were a little embarrassed or shy because it seems that she is blind, deaf, and dumb. But then, since you're a sadhu, maybe you know some way to heal her and she can become normal again. So Narada said, take me to the place where she is, and they did. And as soon as he walked in the room, he was stunned. just to be in the presence of Radharani. He knew, this is her, this is Radha. And he said, I know mantras and certain pujas and procedures that may make your daughter well. Here's my list of paraphernalia. They brought the paraphernalia. And I have to chant some secret mantras, so I have to have privacy. So I'm going to close the door. Close the door. Paid his obeisances to Radharani and began worshiping her with all the paraphernalia to his heart's content. And when he left the room, he said that the mantras didn't work, but I have another suggestion. You arrange a festival in honor of your newborn daughter. Invite all the cowherds in the community to come and participate, and make sure you, of course, invite your dear friend Nanda and his good wife Yashoda and their newborn child Krishna. So that happened. They were very happy to have a festival in honor of their daughter. So that while the festival was going on, they were busy taking care of guests, and Yashoda and Nanda were similarly involved in their social activities when you have a festival. And it's okay. I'll get it later. You know what happened. The toddler crawled over to where Radharani was in her crib, and as soon as he poked his head above the ground and he could see Radha, she immediately opened her eyes and made a sound, the first time she made a sound. And the understanding explained by those who narrate this is that she had no interest in seeing anything, speaking anything, hearing anything other than Krishna. Not like she became attracted to Krishna. It's just she is his eternal associate, consort. So there are four additional narrations of Radharani's appearance. And some of them are very, very different. And the understanding is there's different cycles of the four yugas, and those different cycles of the four yugas account for different appearances, the lila of Radharani's appearance. And one of the most amazing ones, well, I'll say the two ones that are really easy. Two that are really easy, an additional account, and these are from records of our Vaishnava acharyas and scriptures, where the appearance of Radha was not in Ravel, but it was in Varsana. And there's a kund, Vrishabhanu kund, and he was taking bath in Vrishabhanu kund, and Radha appeared like the same way on a lotus flower. Another found in one of the Puranas, Srila Prabhupada narrated one time in Montreal, but it's Puranic description. It's very similar to Janak plowing the field and Sita came out of the earth. Vrishabhanu was preparing the ground for a yajna, and as he was doing so, Radha came out of the earth, a golden child, and he accepted this as providential arrangement. The other two are very, very complicated. I'll invite you to read it. In Lalita Madhava, Rupa Goswami, very authoritative. You know, he wrote two dramas, Lalita and Vidagdha Madhava. So in the Lalita Madhava, there's a narration between Purnamasi and Gargi. Purnamasi is the mother of Sandipani Muni and the grandmother of Mother Mongol, because Mother Mongol was Sandipani Muni's son. So Purnamasi, being Yogamaya, arrived in Vrindavan before Krishna's birth. Now, the distance from where Sandipani Muni resided and Vrindavan is quite some distance. It's a big distance, but she was there to serve the personality of Godhead as his Yogamaya potency. And Mother Mongol was his dear friend. So Purnamasi is narrating something she said she heard from Narada Muni. It comes at the end of this little section. And she's narrating to Gargi. And Gargi is the daughter of Gargamuni. We all know who's Gargamuni. So Gargi wants to know about Radha's appearance. And she starts to narrate. And it's really involved. And I'm not sure I have all the details correct. In fact, if somebody... Satish, could you bring my backpack from upstairs and I'll just read it as we go along. It's quite interesting. It's very puzzling. Very mysterious. And it's Rupa Goswami. That's a photograph of Radharani someplace in Vrindavan, looking up the someplace, where she's being worshipped. Now, the worship of Radha is, it came up in our discussion yesterday. It's not. Other than Gaudiya Vaishnavas, there's not much understanding of Radharani. You may know discussions. There was a Brahmin in South India who was worshipping Radharani. And when he left his body, he was such a celebrated brahmana, the king went to attend his funeral. There was no son to take care of the Radharani deity. And so the king accepted the deity to be taken to Puri and placed in the Jagannath temple. But nobody knew about Radharani. They knew Lakshmi. So in course of time, she became known as Lakshmi, and they were worshipping her as Lakshmi. Then after some time, there was a desire to have a deity for Govindaji in Vrindavan. And Janava, Lord Nityananda's wife, consort, wanted to perform that service. So she was meditating on how that could be done. She was visiting in Jagannath Puri. She saw the deity of Lakshmi. She thought, maybe this is Radha, and something like this. And she had a dream where Radha informed her, I am Radha, and told the whole story. People think I'm Lakshmi, but I'm Radharani, and I want to be by the side of Govindaji in her dream. So she explained her dream because of her exalted nature. When she explained her dream to the pujaris, they accepted. And so a big festival, a procession of taking Radharani to Vrindavan was arranged, and that's the Radharani that's by the side of Govindaji. So there was some understanding of Radha worship, even way back. but very, very uncommon. It became prominent from the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the seed for that came from Madhavendra Puri, as you know, and his mood of love for Krishna in the mood of a gopi in separation. And from that came Ishwar Puri's mood and Lord Chaitanya's mood. Not that Lord Chaitanya, he's Krishna himself, but in that way he received and broadcast. So from his time, Radha was placed by the side of Krishna, not alone. So here's, I'll just read because it's simpler. So Purnamasi is discussing with Gargi how Radha appeared, and she says to Gargi, there's only two people I've explained this to, and I'm telling you, you're number three. So it's Yashoda and Devaki. This is the Gita Madhava. So Vindhya Parvat was envious of the Himalayas. And the reason was the Himalayas had given birth to a daughter who was then Parvati, then married to Lord Shiva. So he was in a competitive, Vindhya Hills was in a competitive mood, and he did austerities for a long, long time in order to get the pleasure of the favor of Lord Brahma. Brahma appreciated his austerities, requested, what would you like? And I would like a daughter, Vindhya Hills. I would like a daughter who would become the, who would have a husband. So my son-in-law would then be able to defeat Lord Shiva. It was competitive. So he can one up the Himalaya mountains. Brahma approved. But then he became puzzled. How is this possible? Who can defeat Lord Shiva? Mahadev. Then he realized that Lord Krishna's pastime was going to take place on earth. Only he can defeat Mahadev in battle, Brahma thought. Lord Krishna's eternal consort is Radharani. If Vindhya Parvat can get Radharani as his daughter, only then can my boon be justified. But how can that happen? Srimati Kirtida is the eternal mother of Radharani. So how can Vindhya get her as a daughter? So, being perplexed, because he has to keep his word, Brahma underwent austerities to please Radharani. And she was so pleased with him. Brahma, requested Radha to appear as the daughter of Vindhya Parvat. Radharani agreed. And Yogamaya Devi, now this is Purnamasi speaking, Yogamaya Devi arranged for two girls. Now it gets really complicated. The two girls are Radharani and Chandravali. And Radharani and Chandravali were already in the wombs of their mothers. Radharani's mother, Kirtida, and Chandravali's mother, or father, Chandrabhanu, and take them from the wombs of these wives and put them in the womb, give to the womb of the wife of Vindhya Parvat. Yogamaya did that. Transferred to the womb of the wife of Vindhya Parvat. So he had two daughters, not just one, Radharani and Chandravali. Meanwhile, Krishna had appeared in Mathura, and this is Purnamasi explaining, by Krishna's request, Vasudev transferred Krishna to the home of Yashoda, took the daughter of Yashoda and gave the daughter of Yashoda to Devaki. Kamsa hears the eighth child of Devaki has taken birth. He comes in, tries to kill the child. And as he's just about to throw the child onto a stone slab, the child slips from his hand. And the child says two things. Kamsa, you were the demon Kalanemi in your previous birth. The Lord who has killed you with his disc in the battle, who is known by learned persons as the most worshipable of the demigods, and who is the cause of the whole cosmic manifestation, today has appeared on earth just to give pleasure to all living entities. But the Durga said one other thing. Oh yes, here's a second thing. By tomorrow, 8 Mahasakis, greater and more attractive than me, exactly Shaktis, will also take birth on earth. And she gives their names. 8. Radha Chandravali, Lalita Vishaka, Padma, Shama, Shaibya, and Bhadra. So now some of these are in Radha's group and some of them are in Chandravali's group. 8. Maha Shaktis. Among these 8 Maha Shaktis, 2 will be most famous for their great qualities. Whosoever marries these 2 girls will be most fortunate. He will be Rajendra, because that was Vindhya Parvat's wish. One who can defeat Mahadev, he'll be known as Rajendra. So Durga is saying to Kamsa, whoever marries these 2, he'll be known as Rajendra. And will be so powerful that he will defeat even Mahadev in battle, which happened. Then Durga disappeared and went to the Vindhya Hills. It's very intriguing. Rupa Goswami, not, you know, Harry Potter, not fiction. When Kamsa heard from Durga Devi, he ordered Putana to kill all recently born auspicious male children and to abduct all newborn female children, because he heard about both. The one who will marry these 2, he'll defeat Mahadev. According to the order of King Kamsa, when Putana was searching for such children, she found 2 most beautiful baby girls. Now, where did she find them? Well, she found them in the Vindhya Hills. After Vindhya Parvat's wife gave birth to 2 daughters, Vindhya arranged a ceremony, a sangskara ceremony, for these 2 girls. And a brahmana was performing the yajna. With the 2 girls present, Putana showed up, seeing these 2 girls, immediately picked them up, and started to fly away in the sky. King Vindhya became very worried and ordered the brahmanas to chant mantras to kill the demon who was stealing his daughters. By the order of Vindhya, the king, the brahmanas chanted mantras, which caused Putana to gradually become weaker and weaker. She was not able to hold both the baby girls. And threw one of them into a river below, which flowed in the kingdom known as Vidarbha. Bhishmaka, the king of Vidarbha, found the girl and kept her with him until the age of 5. Very complicated, huh? At that time, Jambavan was residing in both the Vindhya and Govardhan mountains. By the order of Durga Devi, who was residing at Vindhya Hills, Jambavan went to the Vidarbha kingdom, whose capital city is Kundina, took this girl back to Chandrabhanu when she was just 5 years of age. She was known as Chandravali. That must have been an interesting conversation between Jambavan and Chandrabhanu, who thought his daughter something. She just disappeared from the womb of his wife. And here she is. Compliments of Jambavan. Now there's the second girl. One fell into a river. While Putana was still flying with the other girl in her arms, she weakened. And until she reached Vraja, she fell on the ground. At that time, Purnamasi recovered that baby girl from Putana and gave her to Mukhara. Mukhara is the mother of Kirtida. So your son-in-law, Vrishabhanu, this is their daughter. Take care of her, Mukhara, the mother of Kirtida and mother-in-law of Vrishabhanu. Compliments of Purnamasi. Thus, Srimati Radharani and Chandravali appeared along with their sakis. Oh, there's one more sentence. Thus, from that day, she became known as Radha, the daughter of King Vrishabhanu. Purnamasi had recovered 5 more girls from Putana. Now, the number was 8, and there's 5 plus 2 is 7. The one that's missing is Vishakha. It's part of the mystery of Lalita Madhava, but I'm not going to narrate that. So the names that Purnamasi says she recovered from Putana: Lalita, Padma, Bhadra, Shaibya, and Shyama. Thus, Srimati Radharani and Chandravali appeared along with their sakis. This information was given by Narada to Purnamasi. And there's another one that's also very complicated. So I'm going to ask you to pause this. Just, I'm going to go use the restroom for just a moment. Now, since this is Radhashtami, I thought it would be appropriate to also describe the appearance of Radhakund. Because as followers of Rupa Goswami, his instructions are very important to us. And in Nectar of Instruction, there's a lot of emphasis on Radhakund. So here's an aerial photograph, I guess it's a Google map, of Govardhan Hill. Now, Govardhan Hill runs literally north and south, so this is not north and south, but it's just to fit it on the screen. And you see in the middle, that's the town of Govardhan, and the body of water that's Manasi Ganga. During the time of Krishna, it was very, very large, not what it is today. And it is said that Govardhan Hill is like a peacock. So the middle part of, like, where Govardhan town is, that's the belly or the middle torso of the peacock. And this long stretch that goes down, that's the tail. Punch. This is way down here, that's where Lota Baba is, for those of you that have been around Govardhan Hill. And at the north side, that's the head. And Radhakund, Shyamakund are pictured there. So it's like, you know, a peacock sitting on a branch of a tree, and long tail and middle part and thin neck, and the head with this two eyes. So there's Radhakund and Shyamakund. We know the history of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu discovering Radhakund, Shyamakund. It was just an agricultural field and body of water, and he declared, this is Radhakund, Shyamakund. And later, the devotees, hearing from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that this is where it is, they began residing there, knowing that it's very sacred. There was an incident where Raghunath Das was residing, and one a wealthy person came and wanted to give him some wealth. He just laughed and said, I have no need for wealth. But if you want, you can do some service for Radha. You can create a nice kund. So during the time of Raghunath Das Goswami, that's when Radha Kund and Shyamakund were excavated. Jiva Goswami was very involved in practical matters, but it was the project of Raghunath Das Goswami. And as Raghunath Das Goswami was engaging the persons to dig the kund, he had a dream. And during the dream, the Pandavas appeared and said, please don't cut us down. We're by the side of Radha, by the side of Shyamakund, and we're here to see the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So please don't cut us down. We're here. Here's where the five of us are. So when he woke, he was very clear where those five trees were, and that's why Shyamakund is not rectangular like Radhakund, because those places around here, where the trees were. Now that was 500 years ago or so, maybe a little less. But one of those, there were two of those trees still remaining at the time when ISKCON devotees started going there. One of them fell over, and one of them is still there. Three had gone by that time. And one of those trees, I think it's the Bhima tree, is right by the area
there's a set of steps
right by where Vrindavan Das, no, where Krishna Das Kaviraj had his bhajan kutir. Raghunath Das Goswami also had his, etc. So it's a very sacred place. And that's why Shyamakund looks the way that Shyamakund looks. And those that do parikrama around Shyamakund and Radhakund, there's a little pathway and so forth. So how Radhakund and Shyamakund were first established was described by Vrindavan, by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. It was in connection with the pastime of Krishna killing Aristasura. You probably know the pastime. There's a village very near to Radhakund Shyamakund that bears Aristasura's name. Apparently the place where he was killed or something, going way back in history. So Aristasura was sent by Kamsa, and the painting shows the whole of the earth being moved by this gigantic bull. And the gopis, when they saw Aristasura coming, they went to go and embrace tamal trees because they take shelter of Krishna. And tamal trees are blackish like Krishna, and calling out with great fear for Krishna's protection. So Krishna decided to come, and Krishna protected the residents of Vrindavan. The cowherd boys were just watching the fun, and the details of how Rishta was killed. As he was lowering his horns, Krishna slapped his arms like, come get me. So he tried twice. In the second pass, Krishna knocked him down, broke off his horns, and with his horns, he struck him until he lay prostrate. He thrashed him like it was a wet cloth. So Krishna was very happy with himself, and he went to inform the gopis. Good news. The terrible Rishtadima is gone. And the gopis said, well, you've relieved the earth of this terrible demon, but you've killed the bull. And so, don't come near us. Well, wait a minute, he wasn't a bull. He was a demon. Well, may have been a demon, but he was a bull. So, you have to purify yourself first. So that, what's the purification? What's the atonement? You have to bathe in all the sacred rivers of the entire universe. Then you can come near us. So Krishna smiled and said, no problem. And with his heel, this is described repeatedly, with his heel, he pressed his heel firmly into the ground and a big depression was made. And then he called the sacred rivers personified to come. And they came before him, folded palms, yes, some service. Can you fill up this kund with your sacred waters? So they did. And Krishna took his bath, mission accomplished. So then he came before the gopis and said, I performed this purification, but I want you to know that you've accused me falsely. And when you accuse someone falsely of a wrongdoing, the sin for that wrongdoing goes to the accuser, the falsely accusing person. So you have to atone for your sin. What's the atonement? Same thing you gave me. Radharani smiled and said, she just took off one of her bangles, held it in the air. The other gopis knew what that meant. They all took their bangles, and very quickly they made the depression for Radhakund. Krishna said, very good. But now how are you going to fill the kund with sacred waters? If you like, we can make a little canal in between my kund and your kund. And then you can take your sacred bath. And Radharani said, no way. You've deposited your sins over there, and I'm going to have nothing to do with your sins or my kund. Well, what are you going to do? So the plan was made that the gopis, this is Vishwanath, the gopis formed a human chain with pots, clay pots, taking water from Manasi Ganga, chanting Radha's name, passing the clay pots full back, the empty ones going back, and eventually they filled up Radha Kund. They took their sacred bath. So in this way, Radha Kund and Shama Kund were formed, and they enjoyed happy pastimes by the banks of Radha Kund and Shama Kund thereafter. This is a picture, a photograph of Radha Kund from one side. The opposite side of that pathway in between the two, the other side is Shama Kund. And those structures on the top of that walkway in between the two, they're places, shrines, where it is said that Radha and Krishna would sit together and enjoy their association with one another. This, of course, pastime took place when they were both very young. Now, there is a pathway. We'll go back. You see,
right over here, there is a canal that allows the water to
flow between the two. But sometimes, during rainy season, the water is so full from the rainy season that the two kunds are indistinguishable. This is Rupa Goswami from Nectar of Instruction. Where is that intelligent person who is unwilling to serve this divine Radha Kund, which is situated at the foot of Govardhan Hill? So here's that during the rainy season image. There's the sadhus who are walking along a walkway that you can't see. And this is the place where they would perform their pastimes. One of the places. This is now another photograph of Radha Kund.
And over on the left here,
that extension that goes out into Radha Kund was built specifically for Janava.
You see the tree
growing right there. It was so she could sit under the shade of the tree and do her chanting. There's a little bhajan kutir built on that space. And one day when she was doing her chanting in that place, she came back and described the pastimes of Radha and Krishna that she saw. She described a bridge. There's a very beautiful painting of this, what she saw. A bridge spanning over Radha Kund. And Radha and Krishna were there, their gopis were there, and they were enjoying pastimes together. So she was able to see things we can't see. And this is the qualification of those who are pure in consciousness. They can see the unmanifest pastimes manifest in their consciousness. There's a nice painting of what it may have looked like early long ago. The moon in Krishna's pastimes in Krishna Loka, it's always a full moon. So flowering trees and everything auspicious. Nice lotuses growing by the side of the kund. And this is a painting that looks to me like the very same steps that where the Bhima tree is and where Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is. There's a special name for it. And it's a place where they would enjoy pastimes together. Radha, Krishna, and the gopis. And the last for this morning is another description given by Raghunath Das Goswami. It's a book. He wasn't a big author, but the little that he wrote was just amazing. And this one is it's known as the Pearl Pastime. The place is right by the side of Radhakund. You have a tour guide that can take you there. This is what it looks like. This is where the cow dung paddies are kept, and the little children live in the area. It looks like an algae-filled pond. But he saw something else and wrote a book about it. And the book describes a pastime in the following way. Satyabhama in Dwaraka asked Krishna, "I heard that when you lived in Vrindavan, you grew pearls from a pearl garden. Is that true?" And Krishna smiled and said, "Yes, it's true." And then she said, "Can you describe how you grew pearls from a pearl garden?" And Krishna said, "Sure. I had great affection for the cows of Nanda Maharaj, and I became very inspired. I'd like to decorate them with pearl garlands, every one of them, pearl necklaces." So I went to the gopis and said, "My dear gopis, I would like to make a pearl garden so I can decorate all of Nanda Maharaj's cows with pearl necklaces. Can you give me some pearls so that I can start a pearl garden?" And you know who's who here. The one in the peacock-looking sari, that's Lalita with her hands on her hips. And right behind her is Lalita. You have Vishakha wearing blue with stars on her sari, etc. And said, "Sorry, but we're not going to give you any pearls. You're very foolish to think you can grow a pearl garden. And we're not going to be a conspirator in your foolish plan. No pearls for you." That's the left-wing gopis. So Krishna wasn't discouraged. He went to Mother Jasoda and made the same request. And Mother Jasoda said, "Gopal, pearls don't come from pearl gardens. Pearls come from the sea." And Krishna insisted, "No, I've seen many, many times. Nanda takes seeds, puts them in the ground, and puts some water and all kinds of things come out of the ground. Mother, can I have some pearls? I want to make a pearl garden." And he kept nagging like children can do sometimes. And she just had such affection for her son. She gave him some pearls. She went to the treasury and gave him some pearls. So at Malyaharikund, Krishna planted the pearls to make a pearl garden and pearl trees. So he was really happy because after some time, little shoots came out of the ground. So he wanted to tell the good news to the gopis. So he went to the gopis and said, "I have a pearl garden. Come see. You didn't give me any pearls. Mother Jasoda gave me pearls. Come see my pearl garden." So they came to see. And when they saw what they saw, they just laughed. Said, that's not pearl trees, that's thorn trees. And Krishna said, no, you'll see. And after some days, they grew very quickly, and they produced pearls. And Krishna then told them, they weren't thorn trees, they were pearl trees, come see. And they saw, they were astonished, because they were really big. No, no, they were big. They were fragrant. So they didn't want to be one-upped by Krishna. So they decided they would make a better pearl garden. But they didn't have too many pearls, so they went to the storerooms of their parents without even asking, and took some pearls, thinking they'd just replace them from their pearl trees. And they went by the side of the river Jamuna. They decided instead of just water, we'll put Jamuna water and milk from the cows by the side of the river Jamuna. It's going to be a better pearl garden than Krishna's. And lo and behold, after some day, little shoots came out of the ground. So they brought Krishna to see. And he said the same thing to them. No, no, no. Those are thorn trees, not pearl trees. He said, you'll see. So sure enough, it was thorn trees. So now they're in anxiety. Not only they insulted Krishna, and not only they didn't defeat Krishna, but they stole pearls from their parents. Now they're in big trouble. Then Radharani was taking responsibility. She inspired them to get pearls from their parents. So there was a plan. And the plan was, Radha sent two messengers that were really good at bargaining, because Vaishyas are good at bargaining. They can take care of cows, they can produce agriculture, and they can do a business. So two girls were given some jewels, like you see the one carrying the box over here, a box full of jewels. And this is the cows wearing their pearl necklaces. And so the bulk of this book is the bargaining discussion, Vaishya talk, between, you know, the negotiator and Krishna, and back and forth, and Krishna refused. What? Well, if you, all the jewels you have in that box, it's not the same value of even one of these pearls. Look how big it is. And smell it, it's fragrant. No deal. So the gopis went back disappointed to report to Radha. No solution. We offended Krishna, that wasn't good. So Krishna then started to consider, you know, Radharani is very dear to me. Let me make one pearl necklace for Radharani. Because not only Krishna had made pearl necklaces for all the cows, but also all the peacocks and all the monkeys in Vrindavan. Well, let me make one pearl necklace for Radharani. So he became very inspired as he made the pearl necklace. Let me put it in a golden box and put her name engraved on the box. And after that was done, he thought, you know, I should make them for her as principal gopis. So he made for her principal gopis. And he came and offered, as you see, there's the box, pearl necklaces, and a whole bunch more boxes with pearl necklaces, and the monkey with his pearl necklace. And Radharani was so pleased. She thought, we should do something for Krishna. Here's Krishna offering a pearl necklace to Radharani, and Radharani is feeding pearls to the swans. There's so many pearls. So she arranged the gopis would make a big feast for Krishna and the cowherd boys. So here's Radha and Krishna enjoying their feast pastime at the end of the Malyahari Kun pastime, narrated by Raghunath Das Goswami. So when you go next time to Vrindavan, and if you have time, ask some local people where Malyahari Kund is. I don't know if it looks the same today as it looked in these images, but it just looked like any other kind of inconsequential place. So the eternal pastimes of Krishna are going on even in such inconsequential looking places. And if you have a consciousness that Raghunath Das has, you can experience those pastimes and share them with others. And until then, we just hear from Raghunath Das and appreciate the sweetness of Krishna's loving pastimes. Now this is this last slide is more for the benefit of viewing people from distant places. I promised Madhu Mangal I would be making an effort to promote the Bhadra Purnima function. Bhadra month is the month in which Radharani appeared. It begins right after Balaram Purnima, because that's the Shravan month, and then the next month begins the waning and then the waxing moon. So the really big bright moon in the sky last night. So at the end of this month, because in our calendar it's from Purnima to Purnima, the Bhadra Purnima event commemorates this from the 12th canto, chapter 13, verse. If on the full moon day of the month of Bhadra, one places Srimad Bhagavatam on a golden throne and gives it as a gift, he will attain the supreme transcendental destination. We probably should chant a few Hare Krishna mantras too, but it's a very special day with special empowerment from Shukadeva Goswami, knowing what he knows about the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. So it's an event that centers all around the world are participating in. And I think I've shared this before. This particular Purnima is celebrated in China also. They don't call it Bhadra Purnima. They call it something else. But it's the moon festival. It's a big annual festival. And they have this big celebration. They don't give Srimad Bhagavatam, but they give moon cakes. And it's traditional function amongst Chinese people. So when I was in China that particular one year, they were having the moon festival, and I realized, wait a minute, this is the same as Bhadra Purnima. So it is a very auspicious day, recognized in different cultures in different ways. And our culture is give Srimad Bhagavatam as a gift. And if you don't have a golden throne, Madhu Mangal will help you figure something out. And the persons who receive it, as well as particularly, it's mentioned the ones who gives it. So if you have a set of Bhagavatam, Jivam, fantastic. Read it regularly. Share it with others. And give a gift on Bhadra Purnima. Srimad Bhagavatam. In the lower right, lower left, it gives the sale price. A Bhadra Purnima price. So it's to increase book distribution in our ISKCON society. So let's see if there's some discussion. Gosh. It's late. Comments, questions?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, I was wondering that like on Janmashtami we are doing full fasting, and like it is said that Radharani is the one who carries us to Krishna, she recommends us to Krishna, so why only half day fasting is recommended on Radhashtami?
Well, You can fast the whole day. There are devotees that fast the whole day. The answer that's given, I believe it's a Hari Bhakti Vilas remark, is in honor of Radha, you may want to offer a nice feast at noon. So those are two options. But Prabhupada, being very merciful, didn't require the full fasting. He was hefty. And a nice feast for Radha.
Thank okay. you.
This question is from Sachimata Matani. Rupa Goswami is Rupa Manjari. So the followers of Rupa Goswami in their spiritual identity, do they become Manjaris?
Or if you're going to be a follower of Rupa Manjari, I hope so.
Or they could become direct Sakhis of Srimati Radharani.
Well, you do whatever Sri Rupa Manjari wants you to do. That's what you do. That's it? Okay. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.